Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of This Is Real, a show with real people, real problems, and real solutions with yours truly, Pastor Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love. And today, we're going to talk about real faith, man. What happens to you when you get punched in the face? You know, I love Brother James, man. We're going to be diving into James chapter 1 because he's talking about not just Sunday faith, and he's not just talking about emotional faith. He's talking about when life punches you in the face, pretty much when you're in a trial. He talks about wisdom. He talks about temptation and all of those things we're going to be talking about today. Everybody wants to be wise until wisdom tells you to sit down, to shut up, or to be still. Then you don't like it. So today, man, I'm excited about the show. You know, I know it's like something we just kind of preached about and stuff. And then I know you and I always have side conversations before the service and between the service. And I think a topic that's really, really important is having real faith, because that's actually what's going to change your life, right?
But I think that sermon was fire.
Yeah.
The illustrations you used were.
And so we're gonna talk. I want to go part by part. Yeah. So count it all joy. It starts off with counting it all joy. And so, you know, as I was saying Sunday, that sounds kind of crazy when you tell somebody that's going through something to count it all joy. Just imagine, you know, right? Because we're reading it.
Yeah.
But like when you're going through something, why is it that a lot of times we don't get joyful? Is there something that you're learning in life that maybe you should be counting it all joy, but maybe you're not looking at it that way?
There's a lot of stuff sometimes. I think.
Why don't we count it all joy?
Well, I think we make the problem bigger than who Jesus is in our life.
Yeah,
it's kind of like we tell, instead of telling our problem about how big our God is, we tell God about how big our problem is. You know what I mean? And we got to kind of get to the place that, I don't know, God knows about our problem. Not only does he know about our problem, but he knows the solution. He is the solution. He'll get us out. He's with us in the fire. Like,
yeah.
He's never left us in the midst of us going through our problem.
Yeah.
But I think for me, sometimes what happens is that I want to get out right now, you know, or I need the answer right now, Lord. Like, why am I going through this? All these things.
Jump out the frying pan.
Yeah, all these things that are going on. You know, I begin to question. So that, of course, when it's what you were saying this morning, like when we start looking and magnifying that, I'm speaking death into my life.
Yeah.
So of course my perspective is already negative and not empowering. So that's what brings those feelings.
Well, yeah, because joy keeps pretty much is faith that keeps its eye on the bigger picture, right? On eternal things, right? The better gift. Listen, have you ever been through something that you look back and you say, man, I hated that season? But we really wouldn't, you ever did that where you look back and you go, man, I hated that season.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But you wouldn't be pretty much. Yeah. You wouldn't be. Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
As a matter of fact,
let's talk about it again. But like, no, but to understand every time you went through the fire, you know, because Jesus is in the fire.
Yeah.
If done right, you come out the fire totally different. And those were some of the things we talked about Sunday. But the goal of being in that fire is to be refined, to look more like the Son, or to look more like Jesus. Your character is burning away all the stuff that shouldn't even be there, right?
Yeah. All the flesh, for a second, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Would you say you burn the flesh right now, or you burn it later when you go to hell?
Yeah, that was straight up. Yeah, I mean, because faith that can't be tested can't be trusted, right? I think that's really, really important. And so here he's talking about having all these trials, and a lot of times we have, let's say, it could be any problem, whether it's relationships or finances or adultery, anything that happens, you're like, don't talk
about it. I mean, at this point, I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, this one, you're like, okay.
But you know, like, there's some trials or fires that I feel like God allows to take place because he's refining us. And then there's some fires that we ourselves start.
Oh, totally.
The consequences of our actions or our disobedience or, like, for example, like mine, you know, adultery. God didn't, like, say, I'm going to make you commit. You know what I'm saying? It was just a consequence for what I did.
That totally.
Not put me in the fire, but because he's in the fire, he's always willing to help and refine and teach.
And that's where, I mean, well, if you think of the things, he's like talking about the trials, and then he's like, let endurance have its perfect face and other perfect, you know, let endurance have its full effect. Let it be mature and complete. Let it be perfect, right? Yeah. Like when you go through something. And Then he goes into asking wisdom. So like, yeah, when you're, and then he talks about temptation. Right? Yeah. So first he's telling you test and trial, and it's actually to build you up and all this stuff. And then he kind of gets into ask me for wisdom, even though a lot of times people ask for wisdom and don't do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, give me wisdom and then don't do it. And then he goes into the temptation, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. Yeah. But in that temptation, that's why God's like, hey, I never tempt you to destroy you. So like, the goal there is to have enough wisdom to go like, okay, this chick's hot.
Yeah.
Right? Or I'm having problems in my marriage and I think this chick is hot. I need to go talk to somebody. That's what wisdom would have said.
Yeah.
But if you don't ask.
Sometimes I think we ask, but we don't do. We just say like, you know, we I think you said that in the sermon series about wisdom, like we say God's wisdom is perfect, but we still don't.
Because that desire.
Yeah, I think because, you know, like, because even when I was preaching on wisdom, I felt like one of the things that I learned about God's wisdom is that it has to be applied in faith.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
All day
like
long.
It destroys our human intellect. So even those three sometimes push us to not want to take his wisdom.
Oh, totally.
You're telling me to do what? You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't doing that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, I don't know. I was thinking even this morning, kind of driving it, you know, just to, I always keep processing the message, you know?
Yeah.
Because I like to wrestle with the text in my own soul, with my own mind. You know, my will and emotions, you know, I like to think with my soul, you know, I'm kind of wrestling with like everything I was saying. Yeah. And for me, you know, I think like it's a constant thing, right? Like things get even keel after a while, but like, let's say for me this morning, right? You know, I was sharing with y'all, I went to the doctor, you know, and like little things that instantly propose a thought.
Yeah.
And then like, let's say I have other things going on in my life, right? Then at that moment, if I'm believing something by faith, there's a season where I'm in this fire that I'm standing. Do you understand? Like,
yeah.
That's the part where I'm always telling people, I think like the same thing I'm doing now is the same thing I did the first, like it never changes. Doesn't matter if bigger platform, doesn't matter if there's more money, none of that, you could burn all that away. The same thing, like my hardest year was the first year that like I got out. That was probably the hardest year I probably ever had in my life. Like I remember it clearly.
Yeah.
But what I applied then, right? Because that's really where my real faith would have been tested.
You created habits.
Well, sure. Yeah. Because at that point, I remember getting out. I remember everything being a mountain. And what I mean by a mountain, a problem, right? Like I go over here, I try to get my license. I need a job. But I can't get a job until I get an ID. I can't get an ID until I take the class for 7 days and pay the $114. I don't have the $114 because they only gave me $100 and I spent $20 in Taco Bell, so I only got $80.
Yeah.
Right? I don't have nobody in Texas to ask, hey, I didn't have this, where I go like, hey, bro, let me. I didn't have none of that, right? So it's me, God, the Bible, and then Ruthie. And I don't want to ask her because I'm still prideful. I'm like, I ain't asking her for. So she would say, hey, I'll help you. I'm like, no. I remember telling her this like 100 times. I said, if God wants me to do this, then he's going to provide. Amen. I said, and he could have been providing through her. Idiot. I was an idiot. But I needed humility, you know? Amen. And so I, you know, it was like all these things. But the faith I had inside to what I was thinking kept me joyful because I knew that at some point, that too shall pass.
I was reading this thing that, you know, just kind of emphasizing on what you're saying, that it says what we put into practice regularly,
yeah,
we'll do. And I think I was telling you about it in times of pressure. And it was kind of going on along battling lust. Like if we get into a regularly habit of calling people every day and telling them what we're going through and telling them how we're feeling, that's what we resort to when something's going down, that's we're under pressure or when we're fighting something. But if we don't do that regularly, when there's something, when we're being squeezed, we won't do that. You know, so if we're not praying regularly, if we're not reading regularly, if we're not worshiping, we're not seeking him, we're not being accountable, we're not doing these things regularly, when we're being crushed or squeezed, that we won't resort to that.
Well, totally. Then that's where, like, for me, I felt like I had all these years of like reading the Bible. And then I get out and I have to actually, now I'm put in a place where I have to live out certain things. You know, but I was living out certain things, like not strapping my boots to fight every time I got mad, or not, like, little things of, like, being, like, what we would consider ourselves, like, oh, man, I'm being a punk right now, right? Because you're so used to living this life, and you're killing certain desires. When I was locked up, I was killing certain desires, like, whether they were being too loud, you know, it wasn't the way it would be as much out here, but you're still killing a desire.
Yeah.
It's a desire. Once you learn how to kill a desire, you know, you start progressing and killing other desires, right? Man. And so throughout that season, yeah, everything, I tell people all the time, I go, man, I didn't start really living it out till like 3 years after I got, like all the first 3 years were like hard, but everything I was filling myself with, I had a pull on.
Yeah.
You know, because it was difficult. Like, I didn't have money. I wanted to have sex with this woman that I was going to later marry, but I knew in my heart that if I did it the way I normally did it, that it probably would, I would wind up with the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, wisdom, I mean, because like you said, wisdom is speaking. The question is, are you listening to the wisdom? So it's funny, because we'll ask for the wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, Lord, you know, help me.
Yeah.
And then he gives you wisdom. Then you're like, yeah, I don't know if I like that. So then you go to what you think is right. And man, there's a way that seems right to a man that always leads him to destruction, and it'll always mess you up. James 1:13 through 15 says, God doesn't tempt anyone. Each person is dragged by his own desires. So you got to be clear. God tests faith, but he never tempts you with sin. The temptation you're wrestling with, it didn't show up by accident. It came from a seed you didn't kill.
Mm.
And so you got to, it's a constant thing. So, you know, fast forward, I feel like I was in the season because I was thinking this morning. And I was like, man, for certain things, I feel like I'm standing.
Yeah.
And
in the fire.
Yeah. And emotions are going crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Emotions are going crazy because I start feeling for certain things.
Yeah.
Now, as I always say, those things indicate, hey, this is what's going on in your heart right now. Right? Yeah. But God's like, wait.
Yeah.
Or don't move yet on that.
Yeah.
And I start feeling like control.
Yeah.
You have no control, because you don't have control over the situation. You don't have control over who you start getting in your head, like, man, nobody cares, nobody, right? You start feeling like all alone, like, where is everybody? Yeah. Nobody knows, because obviously you would have to tell somebody. Yeah, that's facts. First thing.
You
start creating this pity party, and you start creating whatever, like you said in the beginning, what we were talking about. You start magnifying that problem.
Yeah.
And God's voice gets smaller and smaller, and the noise gets louder and louder, and then you don't know what to do. And then you have to watch from not being led by one of your feelings, because those feelings, most of the time, try to lead you to a desire that would numb whatever it is you're going through,
right.
And they're usually all bad. That's how people mess up.
Yeah.
Right? You don't really start thinking, you're doing great with your wife until you get in a big argument.
Yeah.
Right? Or in a series of arguments.
And then you're living from a certain place.
Yeah, and that desire is like,
or even thinking from there.
You don't really need that. Like, yeah. You can go over here, you know? And then you're like, if you bite that apple, you're done.
Yeah, I'll show her.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So how about for you? Like how? What are some of the things, you know, because not only do I feel like sometimes I'm standing, some of the things are going great, you know, but it just happens, you know, like you start getting a series of thoughts, or you're pretty much like, I don't know, fear tries to creep in. Like, what are some of the things that for you, you think is a desire that you're usually trying to kill?
A desire that I'm trying to kill? I think, man, one of the things that I fight can sometimes be insecurities, or even like in the season that I'm now, you know,
I
feel like sometimes I expect certain things.
Expectations.
Yeah, yeah. Expectations from maybe people or maybe just like a certain, yeah, people for the most part.
Yeah, this turns into let's talk about people. Let's talk about Gerardo and April.
And then I feel like I'm pouring out what I feel like I need to be pouring out, and they still don't respond the way that I'm like, and I'm like, what the heck? So then I can sometimes be like, man, am I doing something wrong?
Yeah.
Like, is it me? Or I'm based with also with the thought of like, man, what's up with this person? Yeah. So even the desire of like, hey, should I check them? You know what I'm saying? Or what do I do type of thing? So the desire, like, and it's pride, of course, in that sense, you know what I mean? But like, just dealing with people and being patient and being considerate and even stepping out of my mind and really thinking like, maybe they have something going on.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what's going on with them, yeah. You know? And like, even the challenge of now, like, I get to do this 24/7, you know. Yeah. So even taking that into consideration, because I'm like, hurry up and answer. You know what I mean? And like, yeah.
Like, when you were the one before that, when you were working, it took you 2 days. Now you're like, yeah, you need to answer me in minutes.
Yeah. So like, even all those thoughts, kind of sometimes I gotta wrestle with.
I was thinking this morning, and I was like, I usually, when you know the task gets, let's say it's a, you know, because I feel like you mature at certain levels, right? And then all of a sudden, like, I keep hearing, G, you're sliding down. Yeah. You know,
where are you going?
I feel like at every level, I feel like I have to face something that maybe I thought I whooped already. You know, yeah. It's like doing math, addition, and then fraction, and then division, and calculus. Like, you're always going to be doing math. It just changes, you know, yeah. How, right? So, you know, as I keep maturing or it gets bigger, like the land and the thing where, you know, most people that, it's kind of funny when sometimes people are like, just pray, brother. And I'm like thinking, man, you struggling with making $30. Like, yeah. I'm believing for like $5 million, $10 million. I'm like, that rolls so easy off the tongue, yeah. Right? But you could take the same advice personally, right? Because it doesn't matter if it's 30 or a million. It's still the same faith.
It's still worry.
It's still faith for whatever, yeah. Right? And yeah. Still worry. So for me, I feel like two things. I don't see I'm struggling with, because I think like, oh, I've defeated it, right? But I defeat it only when I fight it with the word. Like the yeah. Whole part, I wasn't smart enough, or, right? Like I start, oh, I am smart enough, and yeah, I could do this. And so I have a good season. But then when the mountains get really big, or I start thinking like just being vulnerable with everybody out there, is that you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, because I sold drugs, just in case you didn't know, I sold drugs most of my life, and so I don't have like that cushion of like social security and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I want to be a good provider for my home, and my life is incredible right now, right? But if I look in the context of like, let's say I'm gonna be 65 in 10 years, right? Then that hits a little different.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know if I am I going to make it? You know, like, am I going to make it? Because I could be living great. But everything I have now, if I get natural minded, I'm like, that wouldn't last. That was going to last like 2 years.
Yeah.
Right. So then I start getting in my head. And then obviously, you know, my awesome kids, sometimes they're like, you're going to be, you know, we got you. I'm like, are you trying to get you right now? Like, excuse the French, but you know, I'm like, it's really funny when they get, because, well, they don't understand. Yeah. Most people just don't understand, yeah. Right? I started my life at 40 years old. So has God done incredible things? Like, I finished school. I got finances. I budget well. I bought a house. You know, all these things that people go like, wow, to, right?
Yeah.
But those are just things. Yeah. But at the end of the day, when you're 65, I'm already getting tired a little. So then I'm like, man, what am I going to be like when I'm 60?
Yeah.
And we could all joke around like we do in the office and all that, and we're all joking. But there's a reality to that, yeah. Where it's like, because realistically, you know, everybody's there for you. But even if everybody's there for you, sometimes you see that in life when things happen, most people, even though they're there for you, if it comes between them and you, they pick them.
Oh, yeah.
They
I
pick
mean, themselves. We've seen it.
They pick themselves.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's like, okay, you could be like, hey, I'm there for you, but now all of a sudden,
to what extent?
To what extent? Because yeah. Now I can't. I don't know. I start getting in this whole like, man, am I gonna pay the mortgage? That means I gotta pay the house off. Oh my God, I got, you know. And then I get into this thing. Yeah. That desire sometimes creates blindness, right?
Yeah.
It's like this. Then it creates disobedience, right? So I get deception from it, where I think, where I take over God's job, kind of like I got it, and then I want to help everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to help everybody, which is not a bad thing, but not if you're trying to take the place of God, or God's like, no, hold up. I'm trying to do something in their life.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to try to help them, and I need them to fall apart.
Yeah, or I need them to lean on me.
Then you're like, I don't want them to fall apart. Yeah. Right? And so,
they're like, I need them to trust me.
Yeah, because sometimes when we think desires, we just think the horns, and we think everything, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Like, we think that, but desire could be like, you desire to be wealthy. That overtakes. So wealth isn't bad if you're building the kingdom. But if the desire to be wealthy,
it's an idol,
becomes greater than, then you're jacked up.
Anything at that point, wealth, fame,
anything,
significance,
anything,
yeah, ministry, like
anything, you know? Anything. So that's the part. That's the part where you can go to God's wisdom and be in a test because it looks different than what your desires. This is why when you delight in the Lord,
amen.
Right? That means that when I keep delighting in the Lord, well, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. All of these verses, his instruction is perfect.
Yeah.
All of those things start culminating together. And that's where you cross-reference in the Bible. Okay, they cross-reference inside of your soul,
yeah.
Right? And you're like, oh, okay, I got to go to God's wisdom in the midst of the temptation. That's what he's trying to tell you. Like, yo, that desire is tempting you, and you know it's going to destroy you.
Yeah. It all points to him.
It still goes. So he's like, no. This could be a test if you choose to go through wisdom, because you're like, I really want to do that.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know you do, but don't be tempted and don't get destroyed.
Yeah.
That desire is causing deception. That deception is causing disobedience. That disobedience is causing death. So at that point, he's like, no. Listen to what I got to say. And when you do it, let's say he's like, don't go over there. You almost feel like your dad when you were young. No va pa ya. You know, like, okay. You know, like you feel like that. And it right when the Lord, when I'm like, oh God, but I could go over here and I could pay this, and he's like, yeah, but I don't want you to go.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
Just wait for a little bit.
Yeah. And so sometimes you do go anyway. You're like, I'm gonna go. Especially if it's ministry. That's where most people get deceived.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, going out there, and but your wife's like, we haven't dated in.
Yeah, well, it's because we're doing things for the Lord.
Oh, that's where the deception.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. But if your home is falling apart.
Yeah.
If your marriage, those are so key indicators.
I think that's kind of the fight that we sometimes have to face, and that requires us being real with ourselves. Like, am I really going to do this because God called me to go do it?
Yeah.
Or has ordered me to go do it? Or am I doing it to run away from problems at home? For even a lack of self-worth? You know, to make up for something? Like, why am I really doing what I'm doing?
Yeah.
The heart posture.
Oh, totally. And that's the part, you know, now we're going to get to the part that you said you love, because I want to hear your perspective on the illustration and all that. But something that I started jotting down yesterday was, you don't fall into sin. You feed it until it grows into something that kills you, right?
The leopard.
Uh-huh. Like, right? Because I was like, well, how do I know how I preached it, because over there I kick on and I just start going, you know. But when I start thinking about something, I would say I start tweaking and changing stuff. But, you know, when you can't accept correction, you know, if you can read the Bible and accept correction, which is when you look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Remember, there was a person holding the mirror. Sometimes it's somebody that corrects you and they actually trying to help you because they're like, yo, man.
They love you.
Like, you're getting, you're married or whatever.
Yeah.
And when I look at you, I always come to the one story. But it's whatever, the little leopard always turns into the big one, right? And so if you're feeding it, in order for that, if you don't feed it, it'll die. That little leopard, if you don't feed it, it won't grow up.
Yeah, it'll starve to death.
Yeah, it'll starve to death. But if you keep feeding it, the second picture was this picture of this large leopard, right? That looked like it'll kill you. The first one looked like it wouldn't kill you.
Yeah, like a little kitty cat.
Like a little kitty cat that everybody wants to take home. And I think we got to be honest. Like I always say, if I lie to myself, I lie to everybody else. So I'm real with myself, like super real. Like I'm like, no. Like this is, if you could, this is what you would do.
I think that's also a challenge, because some of us have lied to ourselves to do wickedness, like prior to Christ.
Yeah, totally.
Like to sell drugs.
Yeah.
To go rob somebody.
Yeah.
To
smoke weed, get drunk, have sex all the time with 5,000 people.
Yeah. I'm doing this like in justification.
Sure.
So when it comes to Christ, then he's trying to, because I think that's the first major key step to deliverance, to healing,
sure,
to freedom, to restoration, to any supernatural move of God. You have to be self-aware of what's going on in your heart.
Yeah.
If you don't, if you're not, then he can't.
Sure.
He can't move, because you're not convinced that you have a problem. So how's he going to fix something that you don't even feel that you got?
Yeah.
So the being real with, like, man, you know what? I'm lusting right now.
Yeah.
Or I'm tripping. I am idolizing this money.
Well, that's why discipleship is important.
Facts.
Right? So because you're right. When you first come, you've been deceived for so long. But at some point, that's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is because if you don't take God at his word, then you don't have the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? So when he's like, hey, this is wrong.
Yeah.
And you read it and you're like, yeah, I don't know, you know, and you're still wrestling. But then you're getting discipled or you're living life with somebody, and that person tells you like, nah, bro, like you flirt with like every girl of the church. I get you trying to know somebody, but you flirt with every single girl at the church and that's wrong. And it's like, nah, man, I'm just trying to get to know him. Yeah, like, nah, bro, yeah. You're doing the same thing you did at the club.
Facts.
If you have the fear of the Lord, right, even though it'll bother you, the goal is to go, man, if this guy has fruit and I'm wanting that life, then I should listen. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning, is the foundation of wisdom, right?
The cool part of, like, even if let's just, because for me, right? Yeah, for me, here. There's some things that I'm like you'll say, and I'm like, but I'm not even doing, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
But I'm not even, that's not accurate. But I always tell myself, what do I have to lose? Huh? No, like,
you're hard headed.
A little bit, but I always tell myself, like, but what if he is right?
Yeah.
Or even if he's not right, what do I have to lose by submitting?
So now you're in, don't just be a hearer of the word, do something.
Yeah, because I don't lose if you're like, hey, bro, stop. I'm going to use the hypothetical example you just said. Like, don't be talking to everybody at the church. And I'm like, but I'm just trying to, you know, get them to Jesus. But you're telling me that, what do I lose? I feel like wholeheartedly, I will not lose anything by following what you said. I could probably gain something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I think the whole, like, rebellion of, like, nah, I'm not doing anything wrong, and continue to do it is kind of what leads us to even more rebellion and destruction.
Yeah.
And failure, you know, and sin. So why not, if somebody you're walking with, like, you know, I guess the first question is, do they love you? Do you see fruit? You know what I'm saying? Is that who God, because even that, this is who I feel, I am 100% sure that God said, this is my voice in your life.
Yeah.
If God has said that, why would you buck? Or why would you?
That's because everybody's like, no, if you buck.
Because I do what I want and know what I want.
Yeah. But then they're complaining about their life. Yeah. No,
they run into the wall and it's insanity.
You did the mirror thing. Okay. You doing, because I was explaining it.
Yeah.
And I know, like, there was a long time ago, I played Jesus. You know? Yeah, I did. Hey, let me tell you. I played Jesus amongst thousands of people, and Vinny was like, Pastor Vinny,
yeah.
He was a Roman soldier, and he kicked me for real. I told him, yo, bro, because I told him, yo, make it, and so he kicked me, like, boom, and I was like, I wanted to be like, man, imagine Jesus fought the Roman soldier, you know?
The scripture has changed.
So when I played it, though, and I would, like, I was playing, I played it, too. I played it, you know, in my heart, I feel like I could have acted, but, yeah. You know, I landed to the ground, I looked at people, and they would just start crying, right? And when I was up on the cross, bro, it hit me. Yeah. It hit me. I guess because I tried to be so much in character that I was up on the cross. I started crying. And this is funny, though. I started crying, and the kid goes, Mommy. Because I was dead, you know? But I was crying. And he goes, Mommy, Jesus is crying, you know? But I went in, you know? So I feel like when you walk out apart, just kind of like when you walk out the word, right? So for you, being on the side that was walking out the scripture, because you were literally walking it out, looking in the mirror, right? If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's up there. It just got uploaded, right? It's this past week, right? Real faith endures. And when you were up there, what'd you get from that? Like, how did it hit you?
I think even prior to getting up there, it hit me.
Okay.
Because remember, like, we were like, you just dress like that and see what happens, you know? So I kind of, prior to me, and first service, prior to me getting up on the stage to hold up the mirror, I kind of was already messed up my shirt and had, like, I was messed up basically externally in appearance. And I would talk to people, and some of them would just look at me like, they knew something was wrong with me, but nobody told me nothing. You know, I think it was only Pastor Todd and another guy behind him who were like, hey, bro, like, fix your shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they didn't want to tell you now because you were a pastor, you
Yeah,
think?
Yeah. And that's, and in my mind, I was like, how many people would watch me sin and not say anything?
Wow.
How many people would watch me walk into destruction and not correct me and love me enough to be like, hey, what you're doing is wrong? Even being a pastor, like, And I was like, man, that's wild, right? And even going up there to standing in the mirror, and because I played the part of like wisdom speaking to me, friends speaking to me, Holy Spirit speaking to me, the mirror, which is the word speaking to me. And then even in the sense of like, I know, oh yeah, you're right. For real, thank you. And then still walking away and not applying anything that I say I agree with or that was spoken to me. For me, it's spoken to the sense of like, am I really doing that in some areas in my life? Am I becoming self-aware of the areas that I may be doing that and kind of listening to what God is saying to me in those areas? Like, hey, bro, I'm giving you wisdom in your finances. I'm giving you wisdom in this area. And you say, yeah, you say thank you, but you tripping. You know, I thought that, for me, it spoke volumes to me in that level. But mostly in the sense of like, man, nobody was willing to correct me.
You know, why do you think? I don't know. I used to always have to tell, like, especially my kids and stuff, like, because sometimes when you're correcting somebody, you know, even in, like, let's say you got other adults and they're not really like your kids per se, but you're correcting them because you love them. It takes just as much effort for the one correcting because you don't want to. Like, I know for me, it's like, ugh, like, I got to tell them again. Even though they're the ones going like, I can't believe he said that to me. I think sometimes the person getting corrected has to think, do they love me?
Yeah.
And have they told me this 50 times?
Yeah.
Because at that point, just as much as you're getting frustrated, you're probably frustrating the other person. And here's the crazy part. If they decide to follow the Bible and dust their feet and not ever tell you nothing again, then they're going to complain that, hey, man, what's wrong? Why are you different? Oh, bro, because you're probably going to hurt my life.
I'm telling you 50 times.
I told you 50 times, 100 times. At some point, I'm not your dad. I'm not your babysitter. We're all adults, and I think sometimes we have to really think from the aspect of the person that's correcting, because that could stress out the other person. It could give them a heart attack. Like, there's all these things that we think, nah, I ain't gonna. Yeah, if they're doing that with 10 people, that's what brings the stress. That doesn't give joy. That's why it says it's unprofitable for you, right? So, like, I think a lot of times both parties have to think, man, the person correcting, they love me enough, and how many times have they said it? Because biblically, after a while, you don't have to.
What's that scripture that says to honor your leaders and what they tell you?
Hebrews 13:17.
What does it say though? I was like,
obey your leaders, and because they watch over your souls, and when they correct you, it should be a joy. I'm paraphrasing. It should be a joy, and not it'll be unprofitable for them.
And it gives them joy, like, because they're correcting you from a place of like they love you. And they want to see you be fruitful, and they want to see you grow. And I don't know, sometimes when I correct people, I'm like, bro, I don't want you to go through what I went through. Like, because I know, like, the pain and the grieving.
It's that desire, man.
And the shame and the guilt and all that I went through. Why I wouldn't want that from my enemy. Why would, you know, and I'm giving you wisdom or counsel or speaking life into a situation that I've been at.
Yep.
Please,
it's that desire. It's that desire creates deception, man. The desire, the authority of the word has to be greater than the desire that you have.
Yeah.
You have to delight in the Lord more than whatever it is you're delighting. Because there's things that sometimes it just feels good. It gives you comfort in the midst of whatever, man. And anything that numbs, it's kind of like I always say, spiritual marijuana. It's like this, like, if I do, you know, God's wisdom just sounds like, I got to do that, you know. And then the other one's like,
that's the evidence of us loving ourselves more than we love him.
Yeah. You want to give a shout out to somebody before we wrap this thing up?
Oh, yeah. I want to give a shout out to Polanski Unit, man. Yeah. Yesterday, I know they're going through a rough time. They've had some change in leadership, and people are dying. People are getting murdered. People are overdosing.
Really?
It's crazy.
I was reading something about that yesterday.
Yeah. Edward, which is somebody who got out of Polanski not too long ago, was saying that they're telling him ambulances are coming and leaving and coming and leaving like nothing. So it's pretty chaotic over there, man. But yesterday we got with the prison ministry, we got into prayer for them. So I just wanted to let them know that we love them, and we haven't, they're not forgotten about. We're thinking about them. We're praying for them, and we know God's in the midst, and he's doing something. I also wanted to shout out Julian.
Somebody just got killed there, right?
Yeah. Some guy that was locked. He got, I guess he was part of like, some, I think it was like 14 people who did like a machete killing or something like that. Well, he got murdered yesterday, I think. Yeah, it's just been crazy over there. They're taking away programs. They're taking away all these stuff. So there are people, there the inmates are bucking. Yeah. And then Julian Gonzalez, he's at Robertson Unit. One of his, I think he was his, I don't know, somebody, a family member came to the church and asked us to lift him up in prayer. So just wanted to give him a shout out as well. All the prisons, right?
That's the one that we all prayed for?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you're getting prayed for, man. And listen, yeah. Let me tell you something. If your faith doesn't show up when life gets hard, if you're living double-minded, if you're feeding temptation instead of starving it, if you know the word but won't obey it, maybe it's not the devil trying to wreck your life. Maybe it's you not letting the word work in you.
Come on.
And so listen, thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, I need help. Tell somebody to buy the book. Listen, there's all these things we want to do. We want to get a home for guys to get out of prison. And yeah, I am willing that if sales come in like that, I'm willing to take probably all of it or most of it, because at least I need a vacation out of it. But the rest, I'm willing to buy a home with it, man. If I looked and the finances were there. So I need you to tell every single person on the planet to buy That's Crazy, No, That's God. Remember, I mean, I could be like, you buy That's Crazy, No, That's God, and I'm just like, boom, I bought a new house. No, I'm willing to sew it in. Amen. I just need you to buy the book, right? Because I don't have the finances like that. But if every single person, if we got 2 million people watching and 2 million people bought a book, that's a possibility, like in one shot.
Not even that, it's an investment into your own life. You know, I think there's times that we look into situations where we don't believe God can move in.
Yeah.
And that's a testament of that.
Oh, it's a total testament.
Yeah. So
like the Matt Cruz is in there, the president of Life Christian University. They've all written reviews. And so I was like a little nervous when I sent it to everybody to hear. And I'm going to start posting the reviews so you can see. And I'm going to do a really big contest. I think I'm going to do a wild contest.
Come on.
You know what it's going to be?
What?
It's going to be a trip to get wrapped. From wherever you're at, you're going to be on the show on This Is Real.
You're going to sit right? front row seat. Listen, we're going to baptize
you. All of the above. So pretty soon we're going to be doing a That's Crazy Not. So pretty much, I think the challenge is going to be, so watch out for it.
Amen.
The challenge is going to be where we're going to have people do a video of their That's Crazy No, That's God story.
That's dope.
So, you know, maybe you got one. Hold on, man. You're down the street. I want to win. Hey, man, thank you so much for tuning into This Is Real. Don't forget, man, ask God for wisdom because he's got it for you. It doesn't matter what it is you're going through. He got wisdom for it. And don't get punked by the devil by getting tempted, man, and falling for your desires. Always remember that those desires led you to a place that you were crying out for God at one time. And you were like, man, get me out of this. Don't let those same desires trap you up and get you locked up again. Peace.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.